Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, the Holy Trinity. A theological issue that took many years and many arguments to solidify as church doctrine. One of the hallmarks of our faith as Christians, and one of the easiest and hardest things for us to define. What does it mean really that these three divine persons coexist in unity as co-equal, co-eternal, and consubstantial, that is, of one being? Is it no wonder that while there are countless ways of describing the relationship between the persons of the Trinity, it is still considered a mystery of the Christian faith? And how do you engage a mystery? The most enduring image of the Trinity is surely this icon written by Andrei Rublev, in which he interprets the Trinity as the three mysterious visitors to Abraham and Sarah described in Genesis chapter 18. This reproduction, which usually is found in our narthex, is somewhat washed out, but it still shows us much meaning. The three visitors are depicted as angels, signifying that they belong to heaven rather than earth, and they are sitting around three sides of a table. Their faces are essentially identical, representing the equality of the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Rublev presents them as gender neutral. And if you look, you will see that their faces and their hair might be considered feminine. And yet their bodies, their hands and their feet are distinctly masculine. A mix that comes across as beautiful and otherworldly, rather than strange or disjointed. The angel on the left, Father, Creator, is wearing a cloak of an indefinite hue, pale pink with brown and blue-green highlights, symbolic of the impossibility of portraying God in any visible form. And above this angel is a building, symbolic of the church and worship of God. The angel in the center, the Son, the Redeemer, is wearing a dark reddish-purple tunic and a dark blue cloak over it, which are customary garments for Christ in many icons. The color of the tunic is symbolic of Christ's human blood and his royal status. And the blue signifies the mystery of his divine nature. Above this angel is a tree, the oak of Mamre, mentioned in the Genesis account, but also symbolic of Christ's crucifixion. The angel on the right, the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer, is dressed in a green cloak, traditionally the color of life and renewal, over a blue tunic, again the color of divine mystery. And above this angel is a mountain, symbolic of the spiritual journey or spiritual ascent towards salvation. And on the table between the figures is a dish containing meat, the meat that Abraham prepared for his guests. It rests as the focus of the circular arrangement of the angels and as a symbol of the Holy Eucharist, the continuing renewal of the covenant between God and humans. All in all, this is a beautiful image, one that draws you in whether you know all of those little details or not. Because you don't have to know all of those details to see that this icon is incomplete. There is an open spot at that fourth side of the table, a place for a fourth person to sit down. And we, each of us, are invited to sit there. God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. This is what we can take away from the Genesis reading today. The point of all of this is not that God created the world, but why it was that God created the world. And the answer is that God loves humanity. This is clear as we are the only parts of creation that are made in God's image, and we are given stewardship over everything else created. Male and female, we are God's image bearers. We are icons. And God wants us to sit at the table, to share a conversation and a meal, and to be a part of the divine love that binds this three-in-one together. To be a part of this love is our calling. And we enter into this calling, into this love, into relationship and communion with God through prayer. So the question is, who do you pray to? There are no wrong answers here, but I'd like to see a showing of hands. Do you just pray to God? Do you pray to the Father or perhaps the Mother? How about Jesus? How about the Christ? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Ooh, that's more than I expected. Do you pray to the Creator or the Redeemer or the Sustainer or perhaps just Holy One? In what name do you pray? What image or person of God do you see with your heart when you extend your heart towards communion with God? As you can see, those around you that raised hands and perhaps nodded heads, it's different for each of us. For some of us, the image of Father or Mother is one of trust and love. And so praying to God as Father or Mother brings us comfort. For others, the image of God as parent is lacking or even damaging if our earthly relationships with parents or parental figures have been troubled. And there were quite a few Jesus people among us, not to be confused with the Christ people out there. But what Jesus do you pray to? Do you pray to the little baby Jesus? Do you pray to the prophetic teacher? Do you pray to the man dying on the cross and bleeding compassion and love for all? I have a friend who for years could not pray to Jesus because the image of Jesus as brother hurt her. She had been abused by her brother and could not connect with God through that image. I'm surprised by how many Holy Spirit prayers there were among us, because that face of God is rather faceless. And yet there is such power in calling, "Come, Holy Spirit," and we would always do well to remember that. It's important for us to find an image of God that we can pray with, that means something to us, that allows us to slip into prayer with our Holy One as easily as we slide into conversation with our best friends over Pete's. And it brings to mind a beautiful book, In God's Name, by Sandy Eisenberg Sasso, in which all the people of the world have a special name for God. The farmer who calls God source of life. The tired soldier who calls God maker of peace. The woman who cares for the sick who calls God healer. The child that is lonely and calls God friend. We need to know our name or names for God because, like the examples from that book, those names are personal and show forth our relationship with God, who we understand God to be for and with us, God as an intimate partner. And yet, as important as that is, a spiritual guide in my life once talked about the need for us to build relationship with the parts of the Trinity, with those faces of God that we do not feel as drawn to, or perhaps even scare us. He likened it to marriage counseling and offered the idea that we should enter into prayer with those images, seeking relationship and understanding, as it can be a way to bring wholeness to our relationship with God. I think that there is merit in that. And it is easier for some of us than for others. But what an exercise it can be, what gifts it can bestow in our hearts when we open ourselves to new possibilities and accept the gift of love that God is always offering, no matter what face we give it. Though I had not met the guide who offered that idea yet, that is essentially what my friend did with the help of a group of us to reclaim her relationship with Jesus. And not only Jesus, but Jesus as brother. For the power of love is transforming. And transforming not only for us, for while communion with God through prayer is our calling, just as surely we are sent. Our gospel today tells us that the disciples went to the mountain to which Jesus directed them, and from there they were sent to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching. This is our call too. It's not enough only for us to take our seat at the table. We are blessed to be a blessing, and so we must go forth and keep the promises made in baptism, and in so doing, transform the world. Action rooted in prayer. This is the model that I find through the image of the Trinity in our scripture passages today. May we all find ways both familiar and new to pray with God. And may that prayer lead us all into the world, proclaiming God's mission of justice, compassion, and reconciliation. And in the words of Paul, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen.